Oh, there we go. There we go. Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
We're here.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay. Should got it. I should have it there. Yeah. Okay. So, it is Story in the Media at 7:05. And, Michelle, if you want to do a quick roll call. Or not.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there we can.
Okay, everybody's accounted for.
Excellent. All right. Just wanted to ask if there were any questions regarding the minutes from November 23rd council meeting and then also the December 8th special council meeting that we had. Did everybody have a chance to look that over? Comprehensive and caught everything there? Well, excellent. All right. So with this, if I could get a motion to approve both the November and December 8th special meeting minutes. All those in favor?
I'll make that motion.
Oh, thank you, David.
I'll second.
Is that Todd?
Ruben.
Oh, Ruben. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
Was that an opposed, Tom? Todd?
It was a late aye, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Just a little Zoom delay. All right. So the motion is passed to approve the council meeting notes from from November 23rd and December 8th. So, Ruben, why don't you go ahead and do this lovely introduction of our celebrity guest speaker this evening?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks so much, Chief, for coming. Everybody knows who he is, but I tell you, it's been really an honor and a privilege to be able to serve on the fire board with Chief Kovich and all his team. Great, great group of guys. You know, it's one thing to appreciate what our firefighters do for us just from afar, but they have the opportunity to
see. Turn it off.
Sir?
I think we just got a late.
Okay. to appreciate them from afar is one thing, but to be able to work closely with them and sit with them and hear them and talk about what they do, and you can see the passion that they have for the work they do to keep all of us safe. It just took my appreciation meter sky high. So I really appreciate his passion, his leadership. I'm so glad that he made time to come and spend a few moments with us tonight to talk about several topics. So, everyone, I'd like to introduce to you Chief Christopher Kovich.
Great.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for
welcome.
Love working with you, too. Thank you, Mayor Love, for having me, right? Members of Council, thank you. Typically, I like to try to attend meetings quarterly. I don't think I've seen you guys since last year, though, obviously, with the current times. And COVID things are a little bit different this year. So it's been a while since you've heard from me. I just want to take an opportunity to provide kind of a brief update on the district and then at the end answer any questions that anybody would have. First and foremost, just like for everybody, it's been a long, difficult year, but we've managed really well. It's changed our profession for the long run, and we'll continue to deal with this pandemic and its long-term effects for probably the remainder of my career and longer than that. It's really kind of changed the mission of all fire departments across the country. Overall, one of the things I think that most departments weren't ready for, it's kind of been a national trend too. 911 calls just in Delaware County have been down about 10% this year. That's primarily due to the shutdown that we experienced, and where we were initially expecting a huge influx of calls, that wound up not happening, and that was really kind of a common thing across the country, which was good because it meant people were following the orders, staying home, not going to work, doing things like that. So initially, I think that did help kind of slow the spread of that. But during that time frame, there were significantly fewer car accidents. I think anybody drove on 71 during that time frame, it was a ghost town. Fires were down, which we kind of thought fires would go up, people being home cooking more. Everybody in the world cooks sourdough bread now, except me. We figured maybe more kitchen fires and stuff like that, and that didn't happen. And even medical emergencies in those first few months dropped off. And I think that was out of fear of going to the hospital, fear of going to the doctor's office. But I would say now, several months into this now, almost a year into this, life is starting to get back to normal. We've seen our responses, our emergency responses, trend back to their normal level. So things are kind of business as usual with us right now. Hoping that as the winter progresses, more vaccine gets out, we don't start seeing a significant rise in cases. But it is district-wide. We are higher numbers now than we've been the whole year. Aside from COVID, it's been a good year for us. We were very fortunate with grants this year. In January, we installed a diesel exhaust extraction system in our bays. That was with the DWC Safety Intervention Grant. That pulls all those toxic fumes and exhaust fumes out of our building and exhausts them outside. Before, it wasn't common to be sitting in the kitchen using our diesel fumes because it just kind of migrated through the building. So that was a good grant for us to obtain. We were also fortunate in the fall we received from FEMA about $250,000. That replaces all of our breathing apparatus and the air bottles that we use, and also gives us a new system to fill those air bottles. They are technologically way more advanced than the packs that we are currently using, and it's imperative that we have all those components together to give us the best system possible. We'll continue to keep applying for grants in 21. We've got a couple more that we're going to fire off here, hopefully after January. Seems a little backlogged right now with some of the grants, so we'll keep pushing through and try to get that going. It's been a pretty busy fire year for us. We've got a lot of fires this year. The largest one was in Galena, 44 Home Street. To date, I think maybe in the last 10 years, that's our highest dollar loss fire so far. I think we're about $1.5 million right now. My understanding, just in 58 cases in question, I really still cannot discuss the fire. I believe it is not closed from the state investigators, so it is still undetermined at this point in time. I do know that Mr. Underwood has been able to go ahead and start making some progress with that property. I believe they demolished the old thing, and we just got plans in for a new barn that's going to be going there. PR events. If you know me, if you've been, a couple of you have known me for a couple of years now, I love my PR events. It's rare that there'll be a PR event and I won't be there, and I usually drag my whole family along with me, and they love me for that. But they actually do. They love coming to that stuff. So this year has kind of really stunk for us because our PR events are just non-existent. I'm really hoping that things can get back on track next year and we can start doing our PR events. We love being out with the public, love interacting with people. Even though our PR events are suffering, I do want to remind everybody that we still have a lot of programs that are available that people can take advantage of that we are able to do still with COVID. That's the Red Cross Smoke Detector Program. If you need smoke detectors or know somebody that needs smoke detectors in their home, you can call us. We come out, we do a questionnaire, we do an exit drill with everybody in the house. We can do a home fire safety inspection at that time, and we also will install smoke detectors in the appropriate places that we need to. 10-year sealed batteries. You don't have to ever replace the battery. All you do is push a test button once a month. And that's free for everybody. That, where I came from, was a huge program. We did have a different bit of a socioeconomic clientele. However, there still is a need for this program. It's a great program. When the restrictions start lifting and we're able to get out, we are actually hoping to partner with the Red Cross to canvas particular neighborhoods on a Saturday or Sunday and do a smoke detector drive. So I'll keep you guys informed of when that would be. If you have any suggestions in your area where maybe we could focus, I'm open to those suggestions as well. Another service that we have is car seat installation. This is a pretty popular program for us. A lot of young families, a lot of kids being born. We are still open for car seat installations. We're one of the few fire departments in the area that is still doing car seats. We try to be socially distant. We will try to do it outside. Our guys will have masks on, but we feel that's too important to new families and parents. We want to be able to provide those car seat installations. The other one is the CPR program. We still do offer CPR. We are scaling back the size of the classes, so if somebody wants to put a class together, the information's on our website to be able to do that. And then, of course, any fire safety education program for children, adults, businesses. We have a new fire inspector, Rocky Huddleston. Some of you may have met her, but Rocky is very well versed in public education, and hopefully that program will see some significant growth next year, but it is available now as well. So for 2021, we're looking to the future. I feel like I've said this since I came down. It's been, over 2 years now. This is such a fast-growing area. We have to be constantly looking to the future. As growth and development continues, we're really paying attention to how we're going to continue to provide and improve our service to everybody. Our current levy is set to expire in 2022, and we will start to plan for the next levy very soon. There will be many things to consider over the next 5 years, and we're going to be looking for everybody's input. Naturally, we already are. There is a survey available to any resident and business owner within the fire district. It's on our website, which is newbftgfire.org. We dropped the district, so it's just bftgfire.org. And then I encourage everybody to follow us on Facebook. We're pretty active on our social media page on Facebook. A lot of followers. If you need to get something out, please copy us so we can share it. We just almost hit 2,600 people, which I think for us is pretty good. So the survey is also available there. We're going to keep it open until spring to collect as much data as possible. We've already got some really good feedback, and we really want everybody to kind of gauge where everybody's at and see where do they want. I know where I want the district to go. What are some of the residents' input? Businesses, where do they want to go? So that will stay open. Please feel free to tell everybody to take it. The more results, the better. The last thing I wanted to talk about tonight was the CARES Act funding. As you're aware, there's still an opportunity for us to use the funding. We're closing in on the time frame now. We've asked all the fire board members to explore the option of adding us as a sub-grantee. It's important to us because there still are, COVID work is not going away. We're going to continue to deal with this. And there are some mission-critical pieces of equipment and materials that we can really use. So far, we were able to secure $30,000 from the Village of Sunbury, and that is actually replacing all of the mainline turnout gear for all of our full-time operational firefighters. We are still in need of more turnout gear, as well as medical equipment. And the medical equipment is important. While we don't have an ambulance in the station and don't transport, we still are EMS providers throughout all the community. We provide advanced and basic life support, first responder services, and work in conjunction with DC EMS to make sure that we're giving the best care possible. Some of the equipment that we would need medically allows us to have a more hands-free patient care, which would minimize the risk to our employees. So a couple of those are a cardiac monitor. Our cardiac monitor has reached its end of life. We really could use a new one. There's been a lot of advancements in that. The other one is an automated CPR device, which minimizes the time that we have to do CPR on a person. So essentially, within the first few minutes of the cardiac arrest, we're doing CPR until a device is applied to the person, and then it's completely automated. It's called a Lucas device. If you haven't seen one, it's pretty brutal, I'm not going to lie. But if you're not squeamish, there are some good videos, and it is a highly effective piece of equipment. So things like that are available to get with the CARES Act funding. Like I said, we're running out of time, and you know that. I'm really optimistic that there's going to be another round, though, after the first of the year. If there's another round, what we're asking all the district communities to do is to consider putting us on as a sub-grantee. Call me. I'll work with the mayor. I'll work with council. I'll work with Jeff White to get added on. I can help with reporting. I'm very well versed in all the federal reporting. We have to go through that with all the other grants that we get. So it's not just going to be you guys are going to give us money and we're off the hook. That's not how this partnership works. I help, and I'm more than willing to do anything like that. So as we move forward with that, please keep us in your thoughts if you're going to go forward with more CARES Act funding. Thank you for your time. hope I didn't go too long. If anybody has questions, please, I'm available now and always. So you can email me, you can call me, and I can get back to you, or I can answer them right now.
Thank you so much, Chris. That was amazing. You guys just continue to grow and do amazing programs throughout the community. And, you know, we all miss the public appearances of Bella, so.
She's been our best addition this year, I think. For those who don't know, we thought of adopting an English bulldog back in the fall, and she is awesome.
They are the best. Hey, I do have a quick question. Kind of back last year, we were talking about the Safe Baby Drop program, and I just wondered if that kind of went on hold or if that's something that's still in the works.
So we're like 98% of the way there. Okay. The shutdown really affected all of the permitting process, inspection process, even the application for things. What should have been like a 2-month ordeal has stretched out the whole year. So we are finishing up the final phases, and hopefully we'll be having some sort of dedication ceremony soon that everybody will get invited to. We'll be responsible and socially distant, and then we'll formally kick off that baby box.
That's wonderful. That's really exciting. Because the next closest one is where?
I believe it's out towards the Indiana border. We will be the only and first box in central Ohio.
Wow.
I think there's only a couple other boxes in the state of Ohio.
Wow. Wow. Well, you get when you call me. Can you hold that baby? just want to open the floor up to any questions.
Chief, David Simmons here. I had a question about home fire extinguishers. Do you guys evaluate those?
We can look at them as we come out. If you have a question, we can always field those questions. They're a little bit different than what we look at from a commercial and a business aspect, but we can definitely take any questions on those.
I mean, if we had one that we wanted to have tested, is that something that you guys could do?
We don't do it. However, Tri-Township Fire District does. That's actually who we use for our
In Delaware?
Yep.
Yeah.
They kind of have a whole little division that does extinguishers, and if they, that's who we recommend. That's actually who we use.
Good enough.
Don't reinvent it if it ain't broken, right?
Do you have to get an appointment for that, or is it just a walk-in kind of thing?
I think you have to set something up.
Yeah, okay.
Especially now, I think it'd be better to call and,
right.
and try to set up an appointment.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I also want to invite any of our guests this evening. If any, you know, in the residents or community has any questions at all for Chief, please feel free to chime in. It was interesting, Chief, to hear that you used the word normal. I haven't really heard too many people use that word, so it's nice to see that you're starting to kind of feel, you know, how the runs are going and all of that, that's kind of coming back around to more of the things that you have come to expect.
It's a new normal, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be what we're left with for a long time, so I guess right. We may as well call it normal.
Okay.
Hey, Chief, this is Herman. I got a question. We didn't talk about it today, but I know we talked about it at the Frog Board meeting. I did bring it to council, and I don't know if you have any updates at this point. Maybe not, but I just thought I'd ask about the community shred day. So I know you were interested in having at least some numbers of people who are interested, residents that are interested.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? We have an abundance of records in this department dating probably back to the 50s. We brought on a full-time fiscal officer this year, which has been a blessing. It really has. We were overdue, and he's here every day and really taking care of things. And one of the things that we've done is put together a whole public records act and disposal and destruction schedule and all that stuff. So we have a tremendous amount to get rid of and what we were wondering, and I'll actually, Greg Roy is his name. Greg will reach out to the different communities after the first year and see if anybody's interested in doing a joint shred day. If he's here at the district, nice central location, and if you guys have boxes and pallets of stuff, you can bring it over and we'll all get rid of this stuff in one shot. So as as we get more information, I'll roll that out to the different administrators, mayors, and trustees and council members, and we'll go from there.
That'd be great. I know we feel the same. You know, there's a lot of boxes down there that probably could, you know, or surpass their time. But they all need to be looked through very carefully. That's always the big project. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, unless there is any further questions, I will say adieu to Chief. Unless you'd like to stick around, certainly welcome
to. I'm going to hang back in the background here, and thank you everybody again for your time. And if you have any needs, please just reach out, okay?
Thank you. You've always made yourself extremely approachable, so thank you very much.
Anytime.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, you're up. I'll let you give your report this evening. I know you always have lots to say.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Good. Our meeting is earlier than usual. We didn't have a lot of time since the last meeting, so a lot of things on my report are not really new. And I'm going to just hit some highlights. Of course, we're still operating under the COVID-19 protocols, and one of our maintenance guys, Ted, stayed home all last week because the previous weekend he had been exposed to a relative who did test positive for COVID, and Ted was back today, and he didn't have any detection of COVID, but we lost a week of productivity there, but we're glad everybody's safe. Sewer rate study, that's something we started earlier in the year and then basically tabled that because of COVID and the uncertainties about people's, the overall economy and so forth. But it would be good for the Finance Committee to pick that matter up starting in January or February, and start moving forward on what we're going to do regarding our sewer rates.
Jeff, on that note,
yeah.
I'm vividly remembering like 12 months ago, but when we were in budget, did we earmark some money that, was it Breckler and Eckler was going to help with that? I'm not saying that's the route we go, but for some reason I want to think somebody was going to be helping us with that.
Well, it's we have our engineering firm KEM, and they did an analysis, and that's where we need to pick up the discussion is analyzing and reviewing what KEM's study was, and then working from there.
Okay.
The easiest way to say it. And then also, you may be recalling. There's an opportunity we have to have Delco Water perform the utility billing. Instead of us sending out sewer bills, it could be done with Delco jointly. And so these are all things that we can start discussing. But I think whoever's going to be on the Finance Committee next year, that'd be a good starting point.
Okay, thank you.
On the agenda tonight is our ordinance 2020-10. It's our utility registration program, or right-of-way permit program for the utilities. And this is going to be our third reading. However, we have comments now from Columbia Gas that we need to address before we can do that third reading. So tonight we'll table that. And then a little bit later in the meeting we'll talk about the CARES Act funding and status of that. Anybody have any questions?
Jeff, did you see the report? My wife read a report in the Washington Post about the Coronavirus Relief Act that's currently being considered by Congress. And there was a provision in that that would extend the deadline for the CARES Act money to the end of this year.
the end of 2020?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're operating under a deadline of having to have all of our money expended by
Friday.
Week from today.
Yeah. So, yeah. That should be passed within the next day or so if it's going to be passed. So, you might get another couple weeks or a week or so, maybe.
Okay, well, we could use whatever we can get.
Yeah, but it's just something to keep your eye on.
And the motion we're going to make later regarding how to utilize any potentially leftover funds is, I think, generally worded enough that it doesn't box us into a corner with respect to dates and so forth. But thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Okay, good.
That it?
That's it.
Wow. Okay. All right, so I'm up. All right, everybody's a little shorter this time. Just want to say we're so excited that our Christmas tree is lit and that it's, though we didn't get to have the wonderful celebrations that we really were hoping to have, the tree looks sensational. I've had a lot of people who have just talked about how really beautiful that it looks, and the whole village looks beautiful. All the businesses, Ken, you know, your greenery around the fencing looks so pretty, and everybody just went a little bit above this, I think, this year, and really made it just look beautiful. So with that in mind, I really hope next year we can kind of blow things out a little bit. We can get some more creativity on the table, and I think people are going to be really ready to celebrate all the holidays. So we want to really get ourselves positioned to be able to maximize those opportunities. I also really want to thank Ruben. I know this was a totally last-minute endeavor to decorate a little bit there at the Village Hall. And, you know, we just kind of pulled together a few things that we had at home and brought those. Ruben being my wonderful electrician, trying to get some lights up there. It was great.
Besides that, we're finishing here. It was a good thing, and nobody was electrocuted.
That's right. So we got a few little things up there. Maybe next year we can even do a little bit more. But it's just, I thought everybody else looked so pretty out there, and then our Village Hall didn't have any extra decorations, so we wanted to get a little bit festive. So I think also that there may be a few ornaments still left. I didn't check in with Suzanne to see if there's a few more ornaments left. It seemed that we got to a point where people were just kind of picking them up, and you know, we had some people like myself and David pick them up for some folks that we knew wanted them. So I got them distributed to all the businesses in the area. Everybody was really thrilled to have that. So it was kind of fun. So with that, we also know that the vaccine initiative is underway, and hopefully those who want to have it in the future will have a chance to get that. Chief, if you're still on, I hope that you and your team will be able to get a hold of that sooner than later. So for those of you who want to have that. Also, just wanted to talk about as far as any type of zoning code and master plan and development. That is all continuing to move forward. There hasn't been any major push. I don't expect the Blackhawk development to be at our door until, you know, with anything very formal before the January, February timeframe at planning and zoning. And with that, we are also coming to a nice end and really starting to wrap up our review of the draft, the zoning code draft, and have made some brought in some more specificity into that and really made some nice additions to that and made it a little tighter in terms of what, you know, will happen with future development. At least it gives us a little more, as I call it, a little ammunition to have a little more control when developers come in and start to ask for their divergences. So just wanted to mention, too, that we are local businesses. It looks like Senna Thurman is going to be open a little closer to February. I know his target was January, but it looks like it's going to be a little closer to February. If we get a surprise before that, that'll be great. I also wrote a letter to the diner to let them, wrote a letter to the board of, alcohol and firearms, I think it was. They needed a letter from myself to state that the diner was a good partner, that they weren't doing any major modifications regarding wanting a liquor license. So they bought another business's liquor license so that they'll have beer and wine with dinner. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to go into effect. And they'll have some champagne mimosas with their breakfasts, but they didn't have, you know, they're not making a bar, they're not extending their hours, they're not doing anything different. They just wanted to have a little opportunity for some extra income. Met with Dan Wendorf this week again. He's still, you know, very, very active in the ATR building, looking for some opportunities there. He's had some nice opportunities of people coming forward. I think a hair salon may go upstairs. Downstairs, he's had some interest in some various types of restaurants. He's had some interest in some, like, board and brush craft types of things. So he's hoping to have some tenants here the first of the year. Tallulah's has been very active. I don't know if any of you are on their website, but she's getting quite the social media presence, and she does these, like, Friday night giveaways, and there's all these people on there, and she gives some things away, so she's really creating some business, and she knows that she's going to have to get into some more formal hours so that people really know that she's open going into the new year. So I just want to say that our businesses continue to stay strong and continue to support local. They absolutely need us. Also, let's see here if there was anything else. No, I think that's it until we get down to my Morsi report. Oh, I know one other quick thing I wanted to mention to you all. I mentioned in planning and zoning. For the Miller Farms project, we did come up with the residents came up with the formal names for the street names, and they're great. So I just thought I'd do a quick read off of those. We had, these are all community suggestions, and then I work with EMHMP, and Chief knows about all of these. We had to make sure that there's no duplicates and that they have some originality for our area. So first name is River Birch Drive. We have Graydon Loop. We have Swan Valley Drive. Osprey Run, which is a very popular, that came up several times. Marin Loop, Warbler Lane, Buck Alley Lane, Brickyard Loop, which I think is very cool. Glen Circle, Beck Circle, Birdwatcher Trail, Fawn Valley Lane, Silver Bass Lane, Swallows Lane, and Valley View Drive. So I got a lot of people who are really excited that, you know, they were given a chance to come up with some names. We'll hope to do that with Blackhawk as well. So we'll have to maybe start thinking about some golf themes on that one. So I just hope that you all would be interested in that as well. I read that at Planning and Zoning. So with that, I am done. So, Michelle, would you like to give the fiscal report this evening?
Okay. Of course, we did all our normal things. The interest earned for November was $179.98. All the spreadsheets have been updated. We took care of everything with the CARES funding, and all the receipts were done, and all the reporting requirements were done. We spent a lot of time working on the budget. We've had 4 new residents, 2 burials, 2 lot sales. And Suzanne and I have been doing a bunch of training. We attended our year-end training virtually. Suzanne did her ethics training virtually, and we still need to do a few more hours. They just put out some new virtual training that we can be doing, so we'll be finishing those up between this week and next week to get all our hours, all our required hours completed. And Suzanne updated the actual versus budget spreadsheet, and we're still ahead a little bit. We're still ahead $5,014.23, so we haven't been affected much by the COVID. A lot of it to do to all the new residents and everything we've had throughout the year, so we've been fortunate on that. Any questions on the report?
Michelle, should we expect to have another finance committee meeting to go over the budget again in more detail?
If you think it's necessary. I mean, there really hasn't been many changes on the budget.
Okay. I guess I was thinking that we had more to talk about, and then Jeff had to leave the meeting, and I just sort of felt like we didn't finalize, you know, did we ever take a motion on the budget?
We know in the past,
in the past days, we've met in November once and in December once.
Yeah,
past years.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can try to get a meeting set up. It'll have to be very, very soon then.
Well, when's Ruben going to be back in town?
I'll be back on the 30th, but if we do it, I don't know if it's in person necessary, then you would have to wait till then. But if we want to do it via Zoom, I can make myself available.
Okay.
If you prefer to do it in person, you know, I'm definitely open to that, but I won't be back until I'm ready.
Right.
Then I'll be leaving on the 31st for a couple of days.
So it sounds like between now and the 30th, probably.
By Zoom. Well, we can do it in person, and Ruben could be on Zoom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can do that, too. Yeah.
Okay. I'll get with Suzanne tomorrow, and we'll fill out some time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I do have a few other items.
Yeah.
We have some motions that just some finalizing of things for the year. We do need a motion to leave the sewer rate the same, which is the $178.47 per quarter for 2021 until council reviews the sewer rate study. We just have to have a motion, just because that's something the auditors look for. And then whenever we have time to review the sewer rate study and make recommendations, then it can be changed with legislation. But we just, as an auditing purpose, we have to have something in our minutes that states we did look at the
Michelle, Michelle, typically don't you do that on an annual basis? So if we do a motion to leave it the same, are we not saying it'll be the same for 2021 completely?
No, because we're actually stating that it's until you guys have time to review the sewer rate study. That's why I was adding that at the end until council reviews. Since nobody's looked at the sewer rate, normally, we would, the year is normally in February is when the new, if we're going to change the rates, the new rates will start. But you would still want to have, if we're going to change the rates later, you would want to have the three readings. So,
okay.
But we just have to have something stated in the minutes about that we've looked at the sewer rates. And at this time, we're going to leave them the same until we review items. It doesn't lock us in that we can't change them any other time because we put in there that until the sewer
sure. Study. Okay. Thank you.
I'll make a motion that we leave the sewer rates as they are until we can review the study.
And I can second that.
Thank you, Tom and Kathy. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Shouldn't we have a roll call on that?
Do you want to? We can.
Well, if you talk about what people pay, I think that should be a roll call. Dude.
Okay.
And do we need to, Ken, do we need to suspend the rules?
No, we're not legislating this. This is just a... It's not a resolution or an ordinance, simply a motion. So, yeah, so you've got a motion and a second, and I agree, a roll call vote would be appropriate.
Okay. No. Michelle, would you like to do a roll call vote on that?
Sure. David?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And Ruben?
Yes.
The motion is passed to keep the sewer rate the same until further identified. All right. Anything on the approval of the financial statements? Anybody have any questions?
Joe,
I'm sorry, Suzanne, or Michelle.
I got another one. Going to BSPNG, if we want to... give them any of the CARES Act funds, we need to do a motion, And after talking with Ken, he gave us some wording on that. So we could have a motion to give VSTNG the remaining balance of CARES Act funds not to exceed $10,000. Right now, we don't have a figure, but if we want to do something before the end of, because we need to finalize all this next week, so.
What were we waiting for as far as the sewer? Maybe I missed something. Were we saying we were waiting for Jeff to check on something? And
yeah, Jeff, you want to
know something? I think I remember that.
Are you talking, Todd, are you asking about the sewer rate study, or are you talking about this CARES Act thing?
The CARES Act funding.
Okay. We're still trying to finalize whether or not we're going to be able to buy equipment for the wastewater ventilation system, the wastewater plant, and we're still actively pursuing that. And there are a couple other things that I'd like to take care of. I'd like to buy a year's subscription to the Zoom platform. And so there's just some little details that we therefore don't have an exact amount on how much is going to be left by the deadline, whether that is the deadline turns out to be next Monday or 2 weeks later. We'll see.
So we're talking about doing the sewer plant stuff if we can, and then the Zoom stuff, and then whatever's remaining would go to the fire district?
Right. Not to exceed $10,000. And so that's the only real constraint in this motion. It doesn't tie us down even to a date. It just says whatever funds are left over and not being spent. And I don't know the exact procedures on how it actually gets transferred over to BSTNG. That would have to be worked out.
And, this is Ruben. Did you say that we don't know the exact date when we would actually, make the purchase for this, the wastewater plant?
We're working every day on trying to nail down the exact equipment and placing an order and that kind of thing, but we're working with a couple different contractors on this, and so it's not been really straightforward on getting to the answer, but we're still holding out hope that we'll be able to pull this off, but we're as of present, we need to get it done by next Monday or else.
So, Jeff, if it's not done by Monday, then we know that we'll have a certain amount of money left over, and then that can be allocated. Is that correct? So we'll know Monday?
Yes, unless, Mr. Simmons pointed out, Washington, D.C. decides something else, and we have a little longer time frame to do our thing.
Yeah, I don't want to run Chief up to his deadline, because we've got to kind of put a deadline for ourselves on this, and then it allows Chief to have his time to get that processed and all of that. So, are you comfortable with Monday? It's just, you've been working on this for weeks, and they haven't really gotten back to you, so I'm not feeling a little hopeful that these things will come through.
Well, we've been getting responses from the contractor. It's just working it down to the actual conclusion, and it's dragging out. But
what was the last thing they said? Did it give you give you any hope that this would resolve?
Even today there was correspondence, emails with equipment model numbers and some dollar figures and. So we're getting responsiveness from them. It's not all getting done in one day. It's dragging out over a number of days and
weeks or months.
So
I just think that we should tell them they have a deadline, and their deadline is X, so then we can execute on, you know, because we're kind of the hostage here, and we have things that we want to move forward on. Chief, you know, if we're able to give this to Chief, I know that we're all in agreement we'd like to do that. And so I think that we need to get a deadline for these people, because, you know, we have to have this spent, and it's a little unfair that if at the very end they say, oh, sorry, we can't get this all done in the time frame, and then we are, you know, we're kind of done. That's not, so we need to give ourselves a little couple cushions so that we can do what we need to do with the money, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want me to pull the plug on it tomorrow, I will, and then we'll just move forward.
What's the fire district's deadline? Is it the same as ours? So they're going to have no time to do anything.
Right, so it sounded like Monday, Jeff. It sounded like Monday would be that time.
The chief is still on the meeting. Here.
We have the same deadline. I have quotes. I can have a quote tomorrow for what I need. And as long as we can show that money has been spoken for and spent, we can... The way Sunberg actually cut up a check directly, we deposited it, and we paid that invoice right away, which we can make that happen in 5 days, if need be.
I think we need to figure out the time frame so that we get you what you need, if that's the case, and that we put a final deadline on these people who are with the sewer plant.
Yeah,
so I'll make that up to council, but that's my recommendation.
I think if we go to Monday, because what day is today? Monday. Jeff, that'll give you, you know, 3 days this week maybe. And by Monday, that's it. We either have an agreement and we're buying something, or we're not, because this has been going on for a month and a half.
I thought Monday was the deadline, though, to spend it, right?
The 31st.
Okay.
And we're only discussing the funds already received or to be received under the CARES Act. If new federal legislation comes up,
right,
that will be subject to further activity.
Right.
Okay.
How does that sound, Jeff? Can we...
That's fine. Come a week from today, if we're not able to move forward, then we'll contact the chief, assuming you enact this motion.
Let's have a vote on the motion, Jill.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve funds not to exceed $10,000, how do you want to say that, in the event that the aeration system doesn't come through?
the way Michelle said it was any unused funds, CARES Act funds.
There we go.
Not to exceed $10,000 would be, I don't know what verb to use, but anyhow, it would go to BSP.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, David. In a second?
In a second.
Mm-hmm. And would you like to do a roll call vote on that one?
I think we should.
An expenditure? Okay, thank you. And Michelle, roll call vote, please.
Todd?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Motion has passed. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, sincerely. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Jeff, if you can just keep us apprised from the on Monday, that would be great, or whatever you might be, you know, experiencing throughout these next couple days, and their response, that would be helpful.
Sure, okay. And then, Michelle, did you have any other motions that needed to be done?
Not at this time. I'll have some later on.
Hey, real quick before we move forward, I got to tell you a little bit there. It is really complete out of curiosity. That magnificent television monitor there, where in the heck is that going to go?
Well,
I'll answer that. We have a large rolling stand that it'll be on. We'll either use it. It can be rolled between the council chambers and then the big conference room, community room area.
Oh, gotcha. I like, that's a magnificent piece. That is a great model. I was like, man, what kind of wall space is going to be needed for that?
It's on a rolling stand, yet to be assembled, but it's here. And this is intended as a monitor, a large screen monitor, so we could have meetings of, say, a committee or staff people and so forth, but we could be distanced in a room and still see the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
that's good.
So, yeah, it's, it should be very nice for that purpose.
Cool. And one last question. How does that doorbell thing work in there? Because I'd say it is the best thing ever that I ever had at my own house. I didn't tell my kids I installed it. I just say clean the room. They didn't know where I was coming from. I was in D.C. So I know having that is going to be awesome.
Right. It will be.
Do you have a timeline for that, Jeff?
No. As I said, our maintenance guy was gone last week. We've had two burials and other projects that are outdoor related. So the guys know that it's on their to-do list as well as these other indoor projects.
And I can respect that, Jeff. But we bought it with CARES Act money because we stated the office is locked down. We need doorbells at the door so we can see who is there, the public or whomever. And here we are 3 months in and we haven't even installed them. We'll have them installed and the doors will be unlocked and then we won't even need them there. I understand there's always, just like at home, there's always other things that have to be done. But this was the first item we bought.
Jeff, would it be helpful at all to see if we can get a volunteer? I don't know. I mean, you know, I think my husband put ours in, and maybe some of you guys did at your own houses.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, but maybe we could get a volunteer so we can get these things up, because I know we got a lot of boxes sitting in the office, and, you know, two guys who are busy, and if we need kind of all hands on deck right now, it would seem that we might have some willing participants.
I put mine in at home. It doesn't work very well, so I don't know if that's at all helpful.
And we just have you to come along for the more support. Hey, Jeff, I said, you need help, man. I could definitely make myself a girl when I come back around for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, let's get that in, you know, the first week of the year, you know, if not this week. I know Ruben's gone this week, but if anybody else wants to chime in and get over there and help out, that would be great, because we do want to make sure that we're utilizing these things. And you know, we've got all the, it's like we have Christmas over there and all these gifts and they're still all wrapped, so we need to get them unwrapped. All right. So, any questions regarding the financial statements? All right. Can I get a motion to approve the December financial statements?
I'll make a motion to approve the December statements.
Second.
And roll call vote. Who was the second?
Eric Johnston.
Okay, thank you. Are we doing a roll call or are we just doing a motion or a voice?
I'm kind of going with the rule of thumb now. If it's an expenditure, I'll go with the roll call vote.
Okay. Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Mike?
Yes.
All right, the motion has passed to approve the financial statements for December. Thank you, everyone. Any questions, public for Jeff, regarding the code compliance report or the wastewater treatment report?
Joe, you didn't do the payment of invoices.
We didn't do the invoices, Joe.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We got talking about all that, and I didn't get that in. I'm sorry. Can I get a motion to approve payment of invoices for December?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mike. And a second.
Second, man.
Thank you, Kathy. And a roll call vote on that as well?
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
And did I forget? Eric?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is approved for the payment of the December invoices.
Jill, I have another item under payment of invoices.
Okay, absolutely.
Each year, at the end of the year, especially since our meeting is early, I sent everybody out today a list of year-end payments to approve. These may or may not happen, but if the items would happen to come in, we'll want to get them paid on this year's budget. So I've made up a list of just possible items, and especially any of the CARES Act-related bills, we'll want to make sure those get paid on this year. And so I just need a motion to go ahead and approve this list of payments.
Michelle, how long is the list? Can you read the list?
Oh, did you not get it?
Maybe I did, maybe
okay.
I didn't.
That's okay, it's not that long. I have Bresco, CBTS, which is where we're getting our new phones from, Chiwapa, Suez, Adams Tree Care, Mayor Love's Payroll. We have First Commonwealth Bank to pay credit card bills. We've been paying them down as they've been used, so Jeff and Suzanne can use their card to be making CARES payments or CARES Act purchases. And we have MassEye, USA Blue Book, AEP, Delco, Spectrum, OPWC, we still have the loans to pay, Washington, Jeff Howard Electric, Reinhardt, Walters, and Daner, and Clean.
And did the existing invoices, refresh my memory, include a motion for Cody Hale or a bonus? For Cody?
No, there was a check when we did the invoice, but I don't know that it was that bonus.
No, we have not drawn the bonus. Right?
Okay, so I'd like to add to the list then.
Sure.
A motion to recognize Cody Hale with a $500 bonus as a consequence of his extra effort that he did during the interim period when we didn't have a maintenance crew leader. Because of all the hard work that he did while he was working on his own, I feel it's worth and we discussed this in finance, that it's worth a $500 bonus.
So yeah, I thought we already brought that up and took care of that business when we did the salary changes, and didn't we?
Did all of that except for that bonus. So that didn't get in there.
Yeah, that got left out.
Because I remember Suzanne saying I need something for the bonus or whatever, so we did talk about it.
Right. It's been discussed, but I think the formal action hasn't been taken.
Yeah, that's correct. And then, of course, we'd want to do it in 12/31, the budget for 2020. So you're right. Add it to the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will add it.
Joe, would you like to run that motion?
Yeah, so if I can get a motion to pay remainder of bills for 2020 that appears on the attached list.
I'll make that motion.
In a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ruben. And we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote on that one.
Okay, we got David?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Can we get everybody?
Should be everybody, yeah.
All right, the motion is passed to take care of the remaining invoices or potential payments that need to be made through 2020. All right. We get everything covered there. I did notice, too. We're going to have quite a bit in them. Everybody got We have all the motions that we need between the payment invoices and the approval of the financial statements. That's an important one.
I think we're good.
Okay, fantastic. All right, with that being said, the code compliance and the wastewater treatment plan, any questions at all for Jeff or Lewis? All right. Well, I guess you get to listen to me read here quite a bit. We have several resolutions that are on there. Primarily, they're second readings. So I will read through these fairly quickly and get these on for the record. So resolution number 2020-30, the second reading is an emergency, a resolution appointing Jeff White as the Village of Galena Village Administrator for calendar year 2021, setting salary and compensation and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-31, second reading is an emergency, a resolution authorizing the lease agreement for storage space to be leased from Underwood Business Solutions, Inc. and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-32, second reading is an emergency, a resolution authorizing a working agreement between the Delaware Soil and Water Conservation District, DSWCD, and the Village of Galena and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-33, second reading is an emergency, a resolution authorizing the Delaware County Building Department to enforce building codes for all properties within the Village of Galena for calendar year 2021 and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-34, second reading is an emergency, a resolution authorizing a contract with the City of Delaware for prosecutorial services for calendar year 2021 and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-35, second reading is an emergency, a resolution appointing Kenneth J. Mumar as legal counsel solicitor for the Village of Galena for calendar year 2021, setting compensation and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-36, second reading is an emergency, a resolution approving a service agreement with Professional Package Plant Services for calendar year 2021, setting compensation and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-37, second reading is an emergency, a resolution adopting rules for council for calendar year 2021 and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-38, second reading is an emergency, a resolution ratifying a management agreement between the Village of Galena and 8687 Philomath Sharks regarding Rossner Park and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-39, second reading is an emergency, a resolution approving a temporary 2021 budget for the Village of Galena and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-40, second reading is an emergency, a resolution hiring Theodore Rochon as maintenance crew leader for the Village of Galena, setting salary and compensation and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2020-41, second reading, emergency, a resolution to hire Jody Morey as the Village of Galena Planning and Zoning Commission clerk, setting salary and compensation and declaring an emergency. Resolution, this is the first reading, resolution 2020-41, first reading, as an emergency, a resolution authorizing budgeting for repair or replacement of parts of Joe Walker Road, which had deteriorated in contemplation of a contract with other governmental entities and declaring an emergency.
Jill, you have, I have 2020-43. You stated 41.
I'm sorry. I was looking at first reading. Thank you, Kat.
Oh, that's right.
You are correct. It's 43. So it's resolution number 2020-43. And that is the first reading.
Do we want to talk about that in a little bit of detail for those
Absolutely.
Who do not know anything about Joe Walker?
Yeah, feel
so free. So Joe Walker, of course, runs through Walnut Creek subdivision, and where it somewhat intersects with Millinare Drive. The road continues to go north. It is all deteriorated, and it is definitely a safety hazard. Worked for the last year with Berkshire trustees and Delaware city engineer and Galena engineer. They've come together, they've done their analysis and said the road itself is split down the middle with the east side being Berkshire and the west side being Galena. Doug Rydell, Delaware County engineer, had an estimate done up on to replace a good portion of that totally and then to dig out other sections. And I would like to have all council members come and take a look at this. I know Ruben has ridden his bike for this, so he knows. So we'll take some time between now and the next reading to take a look at the road itself. End of the day, it comes down to they're stating that we can piggyback together, Berkshire and Galena work together. We can get a discount, an extreme discount by piggybacking onto other work that they're going to be pricing and doing the beginning of the year. And so, like I say, Doug Rydell has given us an estimate as best as he knows right now. We wanted to bring this forward so that when they start to work on their scheduling, January, February, they'll know where we stand on doing our portion of this road. So I will get with each of the council members and bring them over to see what we're dealing with between now and the next meeting.
Yeah, we're kind of fortunate on this one. We met with Kevin Vaughn. Jeff is with us. Mark Ruffner from KEM. Doug Rydell, as Kathy mentioned, Delaware County Engineering, and myself and Kathy, we all met out there and took a look at the road. Doug had pulled out some surveys to have us better understand how the road is exactly split down the middle and, you know, what could be done. But most importantly is that we kind of expected that, you know, a project like this is one of those ones that could be in that 70,000 range, I would guess. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, 18 to 25, somewhere in there. And it's because they're already going to be doing a project, and as Kathy said, we're able to piggyback on it. So it's kind of one of those, you can either buy it at a really low price or wait, have something happen because it's a huge liability and pay the big price for it. So, you know, it has been something that's been out there for quite some time that's certainly not getting better. It's only getting worse. And so we were able to kind of tie up some loose ends and perceptions on how that road was. We all kind of thought it was Berkshire's, but it's not. So it's a nice opportunity for us all to work together. And Ken has been involved in that process as well. And Berkshire is certainly willing to pay their half, and they've already accepted their side of the payment. So that's why we wanted to get this on the table because of the time frame.
I jogged through there, and I can see it needs some work, and I'm all for saving money in the long run. So I would support that.
I think we received some correspondence. It might have been the engineer, Mayor. I don't remember. You said that really what we're doing is a contract here with the township, and it's going to be a joint contract. And he wasn't ready to give us the specs and the date about you know, the actual contract itself. And then somebody's going to have to be in charge of the bidding, the advertisements, and all that stuff. So I think it was the county engineer. I believe they're going to try to have that to us sometime either in January or February. The other issue that I talked to the mayor about, we pay some inside millage to the township every year. And it's my understanding that, and it's not a lot of money, but it's some money. It's my understanding, and I think I put in the legislation, that whatever happens on the bidding, we've already considered that. So, yes, the way this should wind up is with a joint contract with the township. And I assume either the county or the township will take the lead on doing the bidding, the advertisement, and all that type of thing. So hopefully that'll be done right after the first of the year.
Yeah, frankly, we kind of get the easy end of it. We don't have to do anything. We just write them a check for our half. So they're doing everything else, the township in Delaware, doing everything else. Okay, anything else or any other questions regarding that? Okay, Jeff, I'll read this one and then have you talk about this a little bit. Ordinance number 2020-10, third reading as an emergency, an ordinance regulating the use or occupation of all public rights of way in the village of Galena, the issuance of right-of-way permits to persons for such use or occupancy, and set forth the policies of the village related to its public rights of way and declaring an emergency. Jeff has asked that we table that this evening, so I wanted him to touch on that.
This is the one we should table until the January regular council meeting, and by then we will have had a chance to see how we're going to respond to the Columbia Gas comments. I haven't even seen those comments yet, but I know they're here, or they're on their way, and we have a consultant that's helping us with this, so I am presuming we will have our consultant come to the January meeting and talk to us about anything that needs to be changed. It may affect some of the language in our ordinance.
I'll make a motion to table ordinance 2020-10 until the January, regular January meeting.
Thank you, David. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mike. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The motion is passed to table that resolution until the regular January meeting. Thank you. Ordinance number 2020-12, second reading as an emergency, an ordinance ratifying a lease agreement between the Village of Galena and the Galena Historic Foundation, Inc., and declaring an emergency. Ordinance number 2020-13, second reading, an ordinance conditionally accepting the public improvements at the retreat at Dustin Phase 1, implementing the maintenance period and bond, releasing the performance bond in all in accordance with the development agreement. Ordinance number 2020-16, first reading as an emergency, an ordinance conditionally accepting the public improvements at the Arrowhead Lake Estate, Section 2, implementing the maintenance period and bond, releasing the performance bond, all in accordance with the development agreement. Okay. All right. Regarding the Delaware County Regional Planning Commission report, just some new developments and not a whole lot to discuss as their year in. The previous month they approved their budget, so just kind of a standard meeting. Regarding WRPC, I did want to mention that it's kind of interesting in the Business Journal. I don't know if any of you saw it today, but Galena has the most expensive zip code in the second most expensive zip code in the state of Ohio. Our median home price in Galena specifically is $449,000. The first one is over in Hamilton County at Terrence Park at $520,000. So needless to say, that's good news for, it specified Galena specifically, 43021. So kind of interesting there. Something that I probably should have put on the mayor report, but it's in regards to AEP. I know that I have sent to you guys some of my correspondence with AEP, and this is as a result of a lot of frustration from our residents and community and ourselves with their lack of performance and frankly, in my opinion, their lack of cooperation with us, kind of just getting the standard, you know, run around. For any of you who kind of followed that chain that I sent you, I just wanted you to see what I had written, what I had asked of them, what they didn't provide, what they did provide. So Ken has offered to write a little more significant letter to the Public Works, PUCO, and see if we can get anything there. I know that, you know, we may want to have some conversations with our development partners to see if they have some folks a little higher up at AEP to see if we can get some more traction on getting some better service or moved up service. Because I know when they spoke at our meeting, their projections were like in 2023 to be enhancing some of our grids. And frankly, I'm just not sure that that's going to be good enough and fast enough. So with the development that's coming to our area, you know, really puts a lot of doubt in the mind of our community whether the power grid can handle it or not. And so that's why I'd really like to kind of come at this from a lot of different angles to see what kind of response that we could get. So I just wanted to mention that that is very much in the works, especially if any of you in the community have joined us tonight, that that has not been forgotten, because it's every time we seem to blink, somebody somewhere has an outage, and sometimes it's a perfectly sunny day.
I know I told you, but there are a number of people in this development here, Walnut Creek, who are outraged. And I think it's going to take about one more outage, and they're going to, as they told me, they're going to start petitioning Miller Farm. Mm-hmm. How could we add more homes when we can't keep the electric going in the homes that we have today?
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and it seems like it's getting worse instead of getting better.
I think so, too.
Is there any way that we can, I don't know, maybe someone from council is volunteer designated to work specifically with someone
at AEP from an accountability perspective so that we can have first-hand updates of what's really happening and truly, truly understand insights and background of what really could be the delays. There is a why. I don't know that we know what that is, and I would love to know what that is, like everyone, but is there any way we can kind of step, I don't know, still part of some sort, just kind of keep it, almost like keeping an eye on, like, I'm watching you.
I like that, and I totally agree. It's just getting to the right person, because the people that we had on the call absolutely were not the right people.
They're
the people that were probably sent to do these kind of meetings, and that's great. But that was not a meeting that I thought went very well or answered anybody's questions for that matter. So that's why we thought if we go kind of to the next level and see if we can get the attention of some people that are much higher up than who we're dealing with right now is really where we're going to go. So once we've established that, then yes, I would absolutely love to have a partner, you know, because it is a partner relationship. And unfortunately, we don't have any choice. I mean, you know, if I could be working with Consolidated or somebody to try to get them to come in, but then that's all at our cost. You know, running live, there's just no way.
There's a lot of residents are saying, you know what, I'm just giving you a whole house generator. You know,
I've seen it,
$7,500 at a minimum.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We shouldn't have to do that.
Because if we always pay for service, it is just
Well, I know a few of my neighbors were not happy with our portable generator that ran 20 hours or whatever, because some of them even packed up and went to their parents because of the noise. So
yeah, we got a generator. I mean, you know, what do you spend? I don't know, $700 or something? We got
one. Get the Cummins. Those are a little bit quieter. I actually know the dealer. It's hard to find them right now, but he gets them. He's like the number one Cummins dealer in the world. He's from like somewhere on the east side of the state. I mean, he's out in the boonies, but man, he came through. When he put ours in, he had like 16 on truck going to Indiana.
Wow.
So, but they're expensive. I mean, I can see the frustration. I talk to people all the time in the village, and they are just, they've had it up to here.
Absolutely. So I just feel like this needs some priority to it.
Yeah, I have a friend that works for AP, but I just don't know if he's the right guy. I can ask, you know, see if he can make some inroads for me, you know, but.
That's why I kind of thought the builders might be a really good partner, because they can put some pretty good pressure on them.
Yeah.
State senator and state representative would be a real good starting point. And
you're right. I'll talk to Troy about that.
He should have some clout with PUCO, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who they are.
I'll talk to Troy Balderson, see what we can get. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, who's the state senator and the state rep. See, this is embarrassing.
Carpagna.
Oh, Carpagna, Rick, yeah. Actually, I'm supposed to meet with Rick. He's got COVID, but Troy and Rick and I were going to meet last week, and then Andy Brenner as well. He may be another really good option.
So me and Andy would be, I think, the best place to start, because they've got some clout with PUCO. They keep them in business.
Excellent. Okay, I will follow up on that tomorrow. Excellent. Great thought. Thanks, Ken. Okay, so regarding the Morphe
Report. If we can't get help from AEP, it might be a thing where we need to go a little farther. I think that's, there are so many, you know, just our congressmen that have been just battling on every front. They're looking for a win. This is an easy win. This is a win for a whole lot of people that vote for them really happy all at once by putting a little bit of connection into AEP. We just want our lights on. It's not a big deal. So that's for someone, you know what I mean, who can say, look what I did for you people. Come vote for me. They want wins. They're looking for them.
Even when there's a power outage, the bill still comes.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, it sounds like we don't have any problem with getting support on that from council. So I will pursue that and see what else that we can do. But that was pretty timely, because as soon as Rick's better, we're going to meet. So because I want to talk to him about some state capital funding on some things. So, they've been very responsive thus far, which is really nice. So, as I mentioned about vaccinations, just from the MOPC report, District OSU and Riverside both received some vaccinations. I imagine many of us have some friends, nurses, caregivers, doctors who have received the vaccinations and did the happy dance for that. And Ohio State received 975 doses with another 975 to arrive in the next 2 days. So I'm sure they're there now. So the OSU has close to 9,000 frontline workers. Long way to go, but we'll get there. And let's see here. Franklin County is still experiencing over 600 to 700 cases a day. And so let's see, stay-at-home order expires on December 15th, which is now passed. And they're talking about extending the order until January 2nd. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. So the housing cost burden, greater than 213,000 households spend over 30% of their income on housing, leaving less money for other important expenses like food, transportation, healthcare, or education, and 43% of renters versus 20% of homeowners. 64% of households earning $50,000 versus 7% of households earning $50,000. Issues were identified prior to COVID, and issues have now increased, obviously, with the housing costs and burdens. Nothing new to any of us. So let's see here. One of the things that I want to really put out to you all, that MORPS is very, very involved in a broadband initiative with computers. If anybody knows anybody who needs a computer, they are looking for people to give computers to. So if there are, you know, indigent families that you know, just people in need, maybe, you know, unexpectedly or off work, and they're trying, you know, or sharing computers, and with all everybody working at home, and there's not enough computers at home for the students and the parents trying to work, please let me know. I'd be happy to get you in touch with the folks at MORPC who are doing this, because it is a huge initiative. And I had kind of was under the impression that it was more towards Southern Ohio and getting broadband out there, and that is part of it, in areas that don't have internet connections at all, but they also have the hardware. So I would really love to see you know, bring some ideas forward if anybody knows anyone.
Gil, it might be worth contacting the school.
Sure, I thought about that too. Yeah.
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 Because I'm sure they've got students that don't have access to computers.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm hearing that Andy Brenner is also huge with the broadband initiative, so I'll talk to him about that too. I would hope that schools already know, but I wouldn't want to take that for granted and you know, have a crack there.
Well, I've got a friend who lives on Vance Valley and just now got access to good internet through satellite connection. So you know, it's not broadband, but it's something that they haven't had, you know, she hasn't been able to get internet for years, and it's just outside of going.
Right, right. So it just shows you. Yeah, you just don't know. So it's really nice to doing that. The Health Bill 404 was signed by the governor and extends remote meeting authority until July 1st. God knows, I hope we don't need it until then, but it is extended until July 1st of 2021. That was something that was kind of hanging in the wings, but that you signed that recently. And it looks like the Public Works Commission has $280 million to help finance local infrastructure projects. State capital budget is $2.1 billion. They're also have an extension of all pandemic unemployment insurance programs by 16 weeks from their expiration at the end of December. As we saw, there was the national COVID relief bill passed, so that'll be exciting. So we'll see where that takes everything over the next several weeks. Let's see, the Paycheck Protection Program and small business. Anytime I get this kind of information, I do send it on to our village partners and for them to pursue should they need to. But there's $300 billion to Small Business Administration funding to allow the hardest hit small businesses and receive a second forgivable Paycheck Protection Program loan. So always lots of good information going on with MORPC. We actually had the annual MORPC meeting with William and Eileen, and they normally come to the village, but we did a nice Zoom meeting, so it was Jeff and the two of them, William Murdoch and myself, and they just really kind of walked through many of the programs that they have And, you know, it just continues to amaze me that we have this incredible organization. And I mean, every state probably has a little something like this, but I have to think that our MRFC for the state of Ohio is doing an exceptional job. So great to be continued business partners with them. All right. Ruben, any more on BSTNG?
I think she kind of hit on just about everything and then some earlier, so I won't look at the time reiterating anything, but I just want to just say thank you again to Chief for coming, and I look forward to telling more in 21 and just us being connected even more in person or via Zoom. So thanks again, Chief.
You're always welcome at our meetings, Chief. All right. Kathy, anything you want to say regarding Planning and Zoning Commission?
No, I think you covered it quite well a little bit earlier.
Okay. All righty. Anything on the events committee I wish you had lots to talk about?
The toys for the kids were delivered to the village to save for next year.
There you go. Yeah, we got those. Excellent. Any other commission reports? Anybody else working on anything? Okay, any other business?
Jill, we had a committee list.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And it's headed 2020.
Yeah, those are the current committees that we have. I know Suzanne sent those out, I think, for everybody to review, especially some of the newer folks.
Okay. Well, Dave Walker's still on there.
Yeah, we got a few changes. We still got to get pictures of all you guys up on the website, so we've got a few things to still accomplish here. But I think this is good for everybody to review as we look at our January 4th organizational meeting. You know, some areas that, you know, maybe you're on something now and you'd like to do a little something different, that's fine. But that's when we spend that time and kind of people step up and kind of discuss what types of organizations or committees that they'd like to be a part of. And then also, you know, we did do a couple extra committees this last year. If anybody has any ideas of some other committees they would like to propose, that, you know, January 4th would be the time to do that.
And for thought, before January 4th, I will be stepping down from the Communities Activity Committee. So anyone interested in taking the lead on that? That doesn't mean I won't be there to help, but I will not lead it up this year in 2021.
Okay. Put your party hats on. Come on. we're going to have a lot of events in 21 as long as we're allowed. We want to do as much as we can and get people back out and visiting, feeling good, and start the morale, you know, really increasing that. We all need it. Okay.
Yeah, as we expand in, as we expand and turn the corner in 2021, rethinking what community events look like, because again, we're all hoping, oh, it's great, we all come back, and you know, we have the events that we had before and we loved. But if we're still a little bit away from that, it might be worth, I don't know, thinking about how we can connect as a community, not in person. I don't know what that looks like, but what's involved there. But it might be worth taking a fresh look instead of looking at that as what was, but instead of what might be going forward. So
great thought. Maybe some types of town halls to do every quarter or something like that.
Thing, but a community events where, you know, we're there and connected. Obviously, technology will play a big part in this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we're struggling with that too. You know, we're struggling with that at the church, how we have these big events that we love having, but we can't come together. So there'll be crossover, I think. When there's a good idea, we'll apply it to as many places as possible.
Excellent. Great thought. Yeah, excellent. And the next January, well, we have, of course, the organizational meeting, so let's make sure we've got that on our calendars for January 4th, because there's two meetings in January. And then I believe the other one is Monday the 25th. Am I right on that, Michelle? You should have a new calendar out by then.
Yeah, it's January 4th, and I don't have my calendar.
When can we get a calendar? When can we get a calendar after the holidays so that we can start populating our annual calendar ourselves?
We'll be bringing that to the organizational meeting.
Okay. And the 25th is the date right in there.
Yeah. And just a side note, Suzanne and I we're not going to pass out packets because the majority of everything you already have this time, so make sure you keep your ordinances and resolutions and everything to refer back to. We'll send out an agenda. We'll send out a updated budget for everybody to review, but we're not going to actually physically pass out packets. We're going to try to save some paper and time because we have a lot of things going on in our office to get everything ready for the meeting since it's so early. Normally it's a little bit later, but due to when our payroll falls, we had to have the meeting very, very quickly in January, so we're going to be scrambling to get everything together.
Well, thank you guys so much for all you're doing and making sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's, and everybody's all hands on deck. Thank you so much. It's been such a wonderful year. It's been a year of a lot of growth, a lot of change, and I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for accepting me as your mayor this year and for helping me every step of the way and coming together as a team and really trying to do what's best for the village and really engaging with our residents. And we all, I know, didn't get to do as much of that as we wanted to this year, but we will continue to, as you say, Eric, to be innovative and to work towards those goals as much as we possibly can. And so I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and many, many blessings to all of your family and friends. And stay healthy. So with that, I will move a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, David.
Second.
And Eric second that. And all those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed who would just like to hang out, have a beer. All right, great. The motion is passed. The meeting has adjourned at 8:36. Thanks, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Nice, happy holidays.